May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the coming King. Amen. The text is the Gospel, Luke 3, the ministry of John the Baptist who prepares the way. We pray, Lord, as your word is proclaimed this day and forevermore, help us to gladly hear your word, to believe your word, to repent of our sins, to cling to Christ for salvation. Grant us all the Holy Spirit now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have an important announcement today. It's really quite an important announcement. We, here at First Lutheran, are having a construction project. I didn't run this by the Board of Trustees. That doesn't matter. They don't need to be involved that much except to be a part of it, I guess. And I didn't talk about this at the voters' meeting a couple weeks ago. That doesn't matter. We don't need to discuss this. It doesn't need to be voted on. It's what God wants to do. Who's in favor of doing what God wants to do? All right. No vote on that. No discussion. It's God's will. What is this construction project? It's a major, monumental construction project. It takes lots and lots of years, has lots and lots of costs to it. What is this major, monumental construction project? It's not a building. It doesn't cost any money. We're all taking a sigh of relief on that one. No money we're going to spend today, huh? Costs a whole lot more than that, though. Not a building. I'm talking about construction of this right here called the heart. Much more important than a building. The heart, our life. And that is the ministry of John the Baptist. He is a spiritual construction worker. Through John the Baptist, the Lord says He's coming. And He wants to dwell with us. He wants to live in us and with us. Amazing. God on high in all His glory wants to dwell with us sinners. Yes, God wants to come and dwell with us and in our hearts. But the heart is all messed up, friend. Our hearts are all messed up. We need some major, major monumental construction done to our hearts that the Lord, the King, may come and dwell. We don't do this construction. God does this construction that He may come and dwell. That's the grace of God. God wants to come. He even prepares the way for Himself to come because He wants to come so bad. What a God we have. Notice the major construction that John's talking about here. I mentioned three things, all quite monumental construction here. Make straight paths. You have a crooked road, you're going to make it straight. That's quite a lot of construction. Not an easy thing. Take some time. Even more, make the mountains low. We're going to remove mountains and hills. That's figuratively speaking how he describes the heart. We have mountains and hills here that got to be removed. That's major, major construction. Go out and remove the Smoky Mountains today. Take years to remove the Smoky Mountains. And then thirdly, fill in the valleys. Major stuff that has to happen in here for Christ to come. Not some little thing over here that takes a couple hours and all right, I'm ready. Not putting up your tree a couple hours, I'm ready. Make cookies for the pastor, I'm ready. By the way, it's not cookies but fudge for the pastors. Make that, I'm ready. Send out cards, I'm ready. Not all this piddly little stuff. Major construction of the heart that takes years for the Lord to come. And He does all of it by His grace. Let me explain this construction today. Make straight paths, John says. Prepare the way for the Lord. First thing, make His path straight. A little later, the crooked shall become straight. The idea is our heart is crooked. Our heart is winding. Make it straight that God may be able to come. What's that mean? The word here in the Greek for crooked is the word scolios. Isn't there a condition of the back, scoliosis or something like that? You have a curved back. It means bent or curved or crooked. But in a moral sense, in an ethical sense, it means you're deceptive. You're crooked, you're deceptive, you're dishonest. You're a fake. In the Lord's day, scolios was often used of snakes. Think of the devil, don't you, a snake? Because a snake is ever winding. It's never hardly straight. It's winding, slithering, hiding. And so a person is scolios when they try to wiggle out of their problems. I wonder if Tiger Woods is listening right now. How about all of us? We all have sin. Don't pick on him. Look at yourself. One finger at him, three right back at you. We're all sinners too. Don't try to wiggle out of it. Try to blame it on somebody else. Excuse it. Rationalize it. Minimize it. All that is being scoliosis and crooked. You're trying to be a snake and wiggle around and get out of things. John says, make his path straight, people. That means be honest and straight with God and yourself and everybody else. Be honest. Be straight. Man up. Confess your sins. That's being straight with yourself and with God and with everybody else. Confess your sins. Don't blame them, excuse them, rationalize them, minimize them. Be straight, confess your sins. And realize that you can't save yourself. You can't deliver yourself from the fires of hell. There's nothing at all that you can do. You totally cling to Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. That's making a straight path for Him. Then He can come to a heart that's humble and contrite and broken. He can gladly come. That's the straight heart. You know, I saw a cartoon this week which made me kind of smile. In this cartoon, there was a bed of hot coals, burning hot coals. You had a line of people that were going to walk across the hot coals. And they were kind of cheering for each other, you can do it. And the next person in line was, guess who? Who was going to walk over the hot coals? Frosty the Snowman. He's sweating. He's got a big grimace on his face already. And the people are cheering, you can do it, Frosty. He's thinking to himself, courage, Frosty, courage. Kids, let me ask you a question. Could Frosty make it across the fiery coals? Chris, he's going to melt. How about his magic hat, though? He's going to melt, and the hat's going to burn up with him. Poor Frosty. All the courage in the world doesn't get you through the fire. And John the Baptist is saying, you may have all the courage in the world, folks, all these good works, all your strength, all your willpower, the fact that you're Abraham's descendant, the fact that you're from Germany and you're Missouri descendant, Lutheran, you have this great heritage, all this stuff does not get you to escape from the fires of hell. You're going to melt by yourself. Courage doesn't make it. Christ gets you through. Confess your sins. Confess your unworthiness. Confess your inability to do anything about it. That's the straight path. Then you're straight. Cling to Christ. He does not save you with a magic hat. He saves you with His mercy at a cross. All right, that's construction right there. It's ever going on. Ever going on in our hearts, God getting us to be honest with ourselves. Secondly, the mountains must be made low. This is even bigger construction. This is monumental. This is the hardest part of the construction process right here. The mountains and hills must be made low. Wow. That's going to take time. We can't possibly do that ourselves. Get out your sledgehammer. Get out all your equipment. Get out your shovels, your bulldozers. We can't remove mountains and hills. God must do this, as He must make the path straight, too, for that matter. What's the mountain that lies in here? We have a big mountain in here, a big, big hill. It's ever popping up and growing all the time. It's called sin. The mountains are sin. The hills are sin. See, sin's not some little bitty flaw over here you can sweep away under the rug. Sin in God's eyes is an immovable mountain for you and I. He can move it. Immovable hill that only He can take away. We might think specifically of the sin of pride. You have a lot of pride, a lot of ego. You have a big, big, big mountain. Pride, ego. You see, God, for Him to come, He must get rid of the lies of the heart that I'm good, that I'm not that bad of a sinner. He must get rid of those lies and the big eye of the heart. We all have a big eye. I am the best. I am the greatest. I am so good. Look at me. God must remove that mountain and that hill. How does God do it? Well, what's John tell the people to do? What's John tell them to do? Amazingly, be baptized. Be baptized. This shows us the power of baptism, dear friends. And this is just John's baptism, which was a temporary thing. We, in a way, have a better baptism that Christ has given us after He died and rose. This is John the Baptist's baptism. Yet it shows us the power of holy baptism. Baptism, not just a little bit of water poured on a kid, a nice, quaint little ceremony, and it's done over with. But in baptism, God, by his power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God removes mountains and hills. As far as the east is from the west, that's the power of God. Baptism is a raging flood, a flood of mercy, a river of salvation, a river of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that strong river, that strong flood, ever is knocking away the mountains and the hills. Does it again today. As Pastor said, I forgive you all your sins. That's your baptism coming through again, blowing away the mountains and the hills. You're forgiven. You're washed. You're clean. Now the Lord can truly come. It's significant that John baptizes in the Jordan River. The Jordan River in the Old Testament was always the entrance to the Promised Land. The people wandered in the desert. After 40 years, they entered the Promised Land finally by crossing the Jordan River. Now you get in. Now you have the Promised Land. Now you have all the blessings of God through water, the Jordan River. And now in the New Testament, John begins the New Testament baptizing the Jordan River. How do you get into God's family? How do you get into heaven? How do you get into the church? By being baptized, all sins washed away, knocked over the mountains and hills, and now you're in. Never take your baptism for granted. How many of you are sick and tired of the party crashers? Man, if I see that lady in the red dress again, I don't know what I'm going to do, Pat. Walking across, a pretty lady, but walking across with her red dress and her husband there. I mean, how long is this story going to carry on? Every day on the news, the party crashers. Oh my, it's shocking. How'd they get into the president's dinner? How'd it happen? How are they so proud to just get in and lie about it? How could they get in? They weren't invited. How could the Secret Service have such a blunder, which is shocking and amazing? Who cares? I don't care a whole lot, do you? I'll tell you something shocking and amazing is that we get to crash God's party today. This is newsworthy. The Almighty God actually invites us. Obama can't invite the whole world to come to dinner. We understand that. The Almighty, Holy, Righteous God, the King of the universe, invites us sinful people to his house, to his dinner called communion, because he's so gracious and so kind. He brings us in. He knocks down the mountains and the hills, washes us clean in baptism, and we're welcome. Now, that's something to talk about, not just for the next 2 weeks, but the next 2 years, 20 years, 200 years, the grace of God to invite. And then you have to fill in the valleys. This is ongoing in the life of the Christian, friends. It doesn't happen in one day. Oh, I'm a Christian. Hallelujah, I'm saved. This is ongoing all the way until we get to heaven when the construction's over. Then we get the brand new body and new soul and everything else. What are the valleys to be filled in? The valleys is the emptiness. The deep, deep sorrow we have in our hearts. Despair. Depression. See, we have the mountains of pride and self-righteousness. I'm so good. Then there's the valleys of life. I'm so bad. I'm so terrible. Life is rotten. And God must fill them in too. He must fill them in too. By all appearances, we may look like our lives are full. You know, we fake that at Christmas time. We smile. I'm so happy. It's Christmas time. My life is full. I got a full refrigerator. I got a full cabinet. I have a full bank account. I got a full garage with 3 cars in it. I got a full job, 40 hours a week. Life is full. Baloney. Without Christ, our life is empty. No matter how much stuff we have in our yard or in our house or in our garage, life is empty without Jesus. There's valleys. How do you fill in the emptiness, friend? How do you fill in the emptiness, the valley? People try everything. They try money. Doesn't do it. Possessions. Doesn't do it. Sports. Doesn't do it. Even our beloved Florida fans probably have a little valley in their heart, right? Tim Tebow might have a little valley there, although he's a Christian young guy, so the valley didn't last too long for him. Emptiness doesn't always work out. You lose after a long time. You're probably going to lose. People try sex, drugs, alcohol. What's going to fill in the valley? I read an article from Reader's Digest. The title of the article, 68 Ways to Have a Happy Holiday. You mean we need 68 ways to have a happy holiday? It's that bad at the holiday time? You got to have 68 ways to find happiness? I'll tell you one way. It's the only way. His name is Jesus. You don't need to read about the 68 ways to have a happy holiday. I'll tell you right now, there's one way, and it's the one who is the way, the truth, the life. His name is Jesus. He doesn't merely fill in the valley. He calls it the overflow. My cup runneth over. Because in Him there's happiness, there's joy, there's forgiveness, there's peace, there's hope, there's love, there's eternal life, eternal glory, the resurrection of my body. Jesus is the way. He fills in the valley by His life, death, resurrection, in His ministry. He'll fill in the valley, John is saying. All mankind will see God's salvation. He'll fill in the valley. He'll knock down the mountains and the hills. He'll make straight the path that He may come. He does it all. You know, Santa Claus is at the malls were asked a question. As you have all these children on your knee and you ask them, what do you want for Christmas? What's the most important thing you got to remember as a Santa Claus at the mall? After all, they see something like 30,000 kids every Advent Christmas time, about 30,000 kids per mall Santa. And one of them said, the most important thing is this. Most important thing as a mall Santa is this. Never promise a child anything. Just listen to them, say what they want, but never promise them anything. Because they just may not get it from their mom and dad. Never promise them anything. Just listen. Would you rather go to Santa Claus, kids, or you rather see Jesus? Is that Jesus? Jesus promises us everything. He promises forgiveness of sins, eternal life, eternal glory, the resurrection of our bodies. And He delivers on the promise. He lived. He died. He rose. It's finished. It's delivered. It's ours this day in word and sacrament. It's delivered. Go to Him. Trust in Him. Be baptized in His name. Major construction. But we are worth it to God. What's it cost? The blood of God's Son. It's all on Him. What a God. May He continue to do construction here at First Lutheran. Making the path straight, removing the mountains and hills, filling in the valleys. Praise be to God. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.